Krishna. So today we are officially linking several devotees with the disciplic succession coming from Srila Prabhupada. As you know, from the time of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the initiation process was divided into two parts. The first is initiation into the chanting of the holy name, Harinam. And the second is initiation into the chanting Gayatri Mantra, Diksha, by which one becomes eligible to worship the deity. The chanting of the holy name is glorified in the scriptures, and we all have some personal experience of the benefit of chanting. But the authorities inform us that one should chant without offense in order to get the full benefit. And the offenses are 10, as quoted by Srila Jiva Goswami from Padma Purana. And at initiation ceremony, Srila Prabhupada would generally list the 10 offenses that we avoid. So I will read one verse and purport of Prabhupada so that we can appreciate the importance of chanting without offense. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1, the first step in God's realization. Please repeat. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Text 11. Etam nivyamana nam chakam pasuto bhayam yoginam nivyamitam harinamanityutanam. Translation. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authority is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the previous verse, the great necessity for attaining attachment to Mukunda has been accredited. There are different types of persons who desire to attain success in different varieties of pursuits. Generally, people are materialists who desire to enjoy the fullest extent of material gratification. Next to them are the transcendentalists who have attained perfect knowledge about the nature of material enjoyment, and thus are aloof from such an illusory way of life. More or less, they are satisfied in themselves by self-realization. Above them are the devotees of the Lord, who neither aspire to enjoy the material world, nor desire to get out of it. They are after the satisfaction of the Lord through Krishna. In other words, the devotees of the Lord do not want anything on their person. If the Lord desires, the devotees can accept all sorts of material facilities. And if the Lord does not desire this, the devotee can leave aside all sorts of facilities, even up to the limit of salvation. Nor are they self-satisfied, because they want the satisfaction of the Lord. Generally, people want to enjoy the material world, and out of so many people that want to enjoy, some few become frustrated with material enjoyment, realizing that the attempt to enjoy has only brought them to suffer, and so they want to get out of the material world. But those who want to enjoy the material world and those who want to get out of the material world are selfish. Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakala Ashanta. Bhukti, those who want material enjoyment. Mukti, those who want liberation. Siddhi, those who want mystic perfections. Kami, they're all selfish. They all have selfish desires. Sakala Ashanta. And therefore, none of them is peaceful. Krishna Bhakta Nishkam Bhakta Eva Shanta. Only the devotees of Krishna have no selfish desires, and therefore they are peaceful. But the beauty of the holy name is that anyone, even people who want bhukti and mukti, even though devotees reject such desires, even they benefit if they chant. So chanting is beneficial for everyone. In this verse, Srila Shukadeva Goswami recommends the transcendental chanting of the holy name of the Lord. By offensive chanting and hearing of the holy name, one becomes acquainted with the transcendental form of the Lord, and then with the attributes of the Lord, and then with the transcendental nature of his pastime, and so on. Here it is mentioned that one should constantly chant the holy name of the Lord after hearing it from authority. This means that hearing from the authority is the first essential. So anu means to follow. The verse talks about anukirtana, namanukirtana. So we chant following the great authorities, following the process of chanting given to us by Srila Prabhupada, which basically means to avoid the offenses and ultimately to chant purely. And the same system has been elaborated on by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and as we will read soon by Srila Jiva Goswami. Anu also means continuous. So continuous chanting following the way of the authorities. This process is recommended not only for the successful execution of devotional service, but even for those who are materially attached. According to Sri Shukadeva Goswami, this way of attaining success is an established fact, concluded not only by him, but by all other previous acharyas. Therefore, there is no need of further evidence. The process is recommended not only for the progressive students in different departments of ideological success, but also for those who are already successful in their achievements, as creative workers, as philosophers, or as devotees of the Lord. In other words, if you want to achieve success, you should chant the holy name. And even if you're already successful, even then you continue to chant the holy name. As Srila Prabhupada said, on the absolute platform, the means and the end are the same. So we chant, ultimately, to achieve Krishna consciousness. And even when we are in Krishna consciousness, we continue to chant. The eternal associates of the Lord are constantly chanting the name and glories of the Lord. So this is an eternal engagement. Srila Jiva Goswami instructs the chanting of the holy name of the Lord should be done loudly, and it should be performed offenselessly as well, as recommended in the Padma Purana. One can deliver himself the effects of all sins by surrendering himself unto the Lord. One can deliver himself from all offenses at the feet of the Lord by taking shelter of his holy name. But one cannot protect himself if one commits an offense at the feet of the holy name of the Lord. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Sarva Dharma Purishyatya Mame Kam Saranam Vaja. Aham Kam Sarva Kate Yomo Shayamasuja. That if you surrender to Krishna, Krishna will free you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So, again, on the absolute platform, the holy name of Krishna and Krishna himself are the same. So when we surrender to the holy name, we are freed from sinful actions and reactions. And if we commit an offense to Krishna personally, we can gain relief by chanting. But if we commit an offense against the holy name of Krishna, who's the same as Krishna, but different in this sense, there's no relief other than constant chanting and prayer. But it's very difficult to become free from offenses against the holy name, Namaparaya. And therefore, it is best to avoid them, obviously. The first offense is to vilify the great devotees who have preached about the glories of the Lord. The second offense is to see the holy names of the Lord in terms of worldly distinction. The Lord is the proprietor of all the universes, and therefore he may be known in different places by different names. But that does not in any way qualify the fullness of the Lord. Any nomenclature which is meant for the Supreme Lord is as holy as the others, because they are all meant for the Lord. Such holy names are as powerful as the Lord, and there is no bar for anyone in any part of the creation to chant and glorify the Lord by the particular name of the Lord as it is locally understood. They are all auspicious, and one should not distinguish such names of the Lord as material commodities. Once our god brother, Shri Rishi Prabhu, who was preaching in Iran, made a very eloquent statement to Srila Prabhupada when Srila Prabhupada visits Tehran, that he awaits the day when all the Muslims will come together and chant Hare Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada replied, "Why do you want them to chant Hare Krishna? Let them chant the holy name of Allah. We are not sectarian." So the idea is that we encourage anyone to chant the holy name in any language, and especially in a place like Tehran, where we could get in trouble if we appeared to be trying to convert Muslims into Hindus. But still, the fact remains that we want to encourage everyone to chant. When we first went to India, we asked Srila Prabhupada about the devotees of Narayan, the devotees of Ram, and he said, no, as long as they are devotees of some form of Krishna, direct form of Krishna, Vishnu-tattva, we encourage them. Now, on a very high esoteric level, yes, there's differences even amongst the forms of the Lord, and in a transcendental way, amongst the names of the Lord. But in general, we encourage everyone to chant whatever name they like that refers to the Supreme God. The third offense is to neglect the orders of the authorized acharyas or spiritual masters. The fourth offense is to vilify scriptures or Vedic knowledge. Now, there are different degrees of offenses, as we read in the story of Bhrigu Muni. The sages wanted to determine which of the three principal deities, Brahma, Vishnu, and Mahesh, was in pure goodness. So Bhrigu Muni first went to Lord Brahma, and he neglected to offer him respect, which he should have, and Lord Brahma became angry. So that's a type of offense, to neglect to offer respect. Then Bhrigu Muni met Shiva, who's his brother. They're both sons of Lord Brahma. So as a brother, Lord Shiva came forward to embrace him. But Bhrigu Muni said, "Don't touch me, don't touch me, you're dirty." Associating with goats and hobgoblins, and you're covered with ashes, and you visit crematoriums, and don't touch me. And then Lord Shiva became angry. That was considered a more serious offense because he spoke offensively. And then the last, he went to Lord Vishnu, and he actually kicked Lord Vishnu, put his foot on the chest of Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu was so sublime, he said, "Oh, my dear Bhrigu Muni, you are an exalted Brahman. I'm so sorry I couldn't receive you properly. Please have a proper seat and let me honor your property." And of course that demonstrated Lord Vishnu's supreme position. But that's the most severe type of offense, to an offense committed with the body, to like kick someone. And that's why even in families of devotees, we should be careful about, I don't need to say it to you, but things like domestic violence, is that something? But anyway, coming to this point about vilifying the scriptures, one of our God brothers commented that it was sort of an offense not to read Srila Prabhupada's book, not to attend the Srimad Bhagavatam class. It's not that you're speaking ill of it, but you're neglecting. Just like the Yamuni neglect to go up to respect Vermont with the father. So, for all of these, yes, there's a negative side. We shouldn't blaspheme devotees. The positive side, we should glorify them. We shouldn't blaspheme Vedic literature. The positive side is we should read them, we should repeat what we've heard from them, and we should distribute the knowledge, distribute the book. If we're engaged in the positive activity, there will be no room for the negative offense. The fifth offense is to define the holy name of the Lord in terms of one's mundane calculation. The holy name of the Lord is identical with the Lord himself, and one should understand the holy name of the Lord to be non-different from him. The sixth offense is to interpret the holy name. The Lord is not imaginary, nor is his holy name. The seventh offense is to commit sins intentionally on the strength of the holy name. In the scriptures, it is said that one can be liberated from the effects of all sinful actions simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. One who takes advantage of this transcendental method and continues to commit sins on the expectation of neutralizing the effects of chanting the holy name, the greatest offender at the feet of the holy name. Such an offender cannot purify himself by any recommended method of purification. In other words, one may be a sinful person before chanting the holy name of the Lord, but after taking shelter in the holy name of the Lord and becoming immune, one should strictly restrain oneself from committing sinful acts, with the hope that his method of chanting the holy name will give him protection. The eighth offense is to consider the holy name of the Lord and his strength and his chanting to be equal to some material auspicious activity. The ninth offense is to instruct those who are not interested in chanting the holy name about the transcendental nature of the holy name. In other words, we want to engage everyone in chanting, but if they don't have faith in the holy name, if they don't have attraction to the holy name, if they don't have faith in the Vedic literatures, then we don't preach to them against their will, but we try to induce them to chant somehow or other. The tenth offense is to become uninterested in the holy name of the Lord, even after hearing of the transcendental nature of the holy name. The effect of chanting the holy name of the Lord is perceived by the chanter as liberation from the conception of false egoism. False egoism is exhibited by thinking oneself to be the enjoyer of the world and thinking everything in the world to be meant for one's own enjoyment. The whole material world is moving under such false egoism of I and mine, that the factual effect of chanting the holy name becomes free from such misconception. So, we wish you all the best in your spiritual life of chanting And we hope that by engaging and serving the Vaishnavas and chanting the holy name without offense, we will attain all success. Some initiates are also going to receive initiation into the chanting of Gayatri. After one has become steady in chanting the holy name and following the regulated principles, and is considered to be on the Brahman platform, the spiritual platform, one can be initiated as a Brahmin and worship the Supreme Brahman. In order to enter fire, one must become fire. In order to serve the Supreme Brahman, worship the Supreme Brahman, one must be on the Brahman platform. And one achieves that by continuous chanting of the holy name and strict observance of the regulated principles. So again, we should be very careful when we approach the Lord, both as the holy name and as the deity, and try to serve them with love and devotion and avoid offenses, namaparad and seva aparad.